hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we are now connected across the pond to our favorite UK correspondent, Roz, via the web, and she sounds like she's in the studio with us, but believe it or not, she is in the UK. Roz, come in!
Hello, Greg.
How are you? You sound so much closer to me now.
Oh, well, you know, I was told to go and buy a beautiful, gorgeous, sexy microphone.
That's right. She has one of these Blue Yeti microphones that we've been hooking everybody up with, and it makes them sound like they're right there with us in the studio, at a table, talking to us face-to-face. But actually, in Roz's case, she literally is across the pond. She is in the UK, just hanging out by her computer. But it sounds like you're right here with it. Kind of cool and kind of creepy at the same time. Are you with me on this, Roz, or what?
Thanks, Greg.
No, I meant for you. I mean, you hear me the same way I hear you, so I'm guessing it's a little more creepy for you, but kind of cool for me. That's what I meant to say.
Right, okay. Actually,
yeah, okay.
The quality, the sound quality on this is awesome.
Yes, it is. It sounds great. And you know, we want to capture that whole crazy accent you have. It's just one of the many benefits of this new technology. But let's talk about DEMA. Are you excited about coming over to the States for the big show next month?
Yes, I'm looking forward to coming across. There's going to be a lot of new products being launched.
So yes.
We're in for an exciting time.
Absolutely. Now, I'm guessing that maybe you got a little sneak peek this past weekend at the Birmingham Dive Show that you attended. Am I right?
Oh, yes. There was. There's two new bits of kit on the horizon. Suntu launched their brand new dive computer, and Apex unveiled Apex, 40 years old, Apex Aqualung. And they've just launched a beautiful limited edition regulator called the Black Sapphire. And there's 5,000 of them going worldwide, and once they're gone, they're gone.
Interesting. So they're doing a limited run of a new regulator called the Black Sapphire. Now, what makes it so special other than they're only going to make 5,000 of these worldwide?
It's the look of it. They've got they've done a kind of metallized metal cover. It looks a bit Star Wars-y, actually.
Really? Little Darth Vader kind of thing going on?
Not quite. More Death Star, but it does. They've machined it from aircraft grade anodized metal.
Nice.
To give good performance in cold water. But they've put an interesting coating on it. They've got a unique carbon coloured coating on it, and it's does make it look rather sexy and engineered.
Interesting. Do you already have one, Roz? Or are they even available yet? Or do you know?
They are coming out, and I've got to talk very nicely to Apex.
Yes. Yeah, you have to suck up to the right folks there at Apex Aqualung and see if they'll hook you up, is what you're saying.
I've got to hand over my pennies because I actually want to stick one away as a collector's item.
Really? You're going to do what? You think it'll be like that? I don't know. Have people done this in the past? I know Oceanic had their Pioneer series there for a while. I don't know if they had a limited run on the regulators, but they definitely had a limited run of that OC-1 watch dive computer that was made to commemorate Bob Hollis's contribution to the diving industry and diving as a whole, right?
Yes.
You have one of those, I'm guessing.
No, I don't.
Really? I got one of those. You should get one, too. But maybe it's too late. I don't know. But maybe this is a new thing. I kind of like limited edition stuff. Now, I don't know if I could actually buy something like that and set it in a closet or a box and leave it as a collector's item. I think I'd have to go out and use it at some point and have some fun with it, too. But you're thinking you might buy one of these regs and just put it away as, you know, like an investment kind of thing?
Well, I'm sorely tempted because the styling on this is really quite beautiful.
Yeah. You kind of you hate the idea of taking it out and scraping it up or something. That would just drive you insane, I guess, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, you know, to each his own. Fair enough. So we got that to look forward to. I'll look for the blue sapphire at Dima. What else did you see at the Birmingham Dive Show?
Black sapphire.
Okay, they'll come out with a blue sapphire after they sell out of the black, I'm guessing. You think?
Maybe. Well, they did this 10 years ago with a black pearl, and if you go on eBay now and you look for mint condition black pearls, they've definitely increased in value.
Is that an apex regulator too?
Yeah, for their 30th anniversary regulator.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. All right. So are they selling for way more than what they what they sold for back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
Really? So they have turned into a nice little investment thing.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. All right. Well, I might have to check into this a little bit more closely then. I've never really considered dive gear as a collectible investment type of thing. But maybe I need to get caught up with the rest of the class, like Roz. Maybe it's one of those things we need to learn from our friends in the UK. You think?
Maybe, Greg.
Maybe. You never know. All right. Well, as far as the Birmingham Dive Show, what else did you see?
Oh, Fourth Element's got some new underwear. Well, you know Christmas is coming, traditional time that you get underwear, new underwear.
True.
Well, Fourth Element has got some new underwear.
Okay. Is it kind of like, do you want to go into descriptive mode with this? Like, are we talking, you know, 90s, you know, I don't know, little shorts, red shorts that are kind of allure with a little Santa's short kind of thing going on, or what?
If I tell you it's called the Arctic Expedition, does that kind of give the game away?
Well, a cold and underwear doesn't really jive with me, but I don't know. They're trying to prevent that, I guess, right?
Yeah, they are. But
yeah.
It's kind of nice because you've got options on this. You can have a one-piece or a two-piece.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got some interesting panels in the torso to help for windproof and waterproof.
And it makes you, it trims you up in there, takes off the standard 10 pounds by sucking you in at all the right places kind of things, I'm guessing.
Well, we'll see when you put it on, Greg, won't we?
Well, no, I'm talking about you, Roz. Come on. Not that you need to have anything sucked in. I'm just saying. they make a woman's style and a men's style is what you're saying. Both unisex kind of thing, I guess, right?
That's one question I didn't ask Jim. I need to check that one, Jim, but
yeah.
I expect that he'll probably do a male and female version on this.
All right. So they just have a new design that they've launched at Birmingham that'll show up at the DEMA show as well.
And it's going to be low bulk as well, which is kind of handy.
Okay. Yeah, that's definitely the in thing is getting less wearing less and getting more thermal protection. All the manufacturers seem to be going in that direction, which I think is a good thing, don't you?
I'm quite excited how technology is going and how much underwear's changed. When you think about it, I'm going diving this weekend in the Farnes.
Yeah.
And the Farnes is where we get, it's up north, it's northern England on the east coast, and it's a big seal sanctuary.
Hmm.
And all the pups are going to be out and playing, which is quite good fun.
Nice.
And I'm taking a friend who hasn't actually been diving for a while, and I looked at his dive gear the other day, and it's all 15, 20 years out of date. And I looked at his thermal underwear and thought, gosh, this has really changed. Thermals have changed so much in the last few years.
They look cooler as opposed to before. They look like giant, I don't know, like those bunny outfits you would see people wear on Easter or something. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, pretty much. He's got a bunny outfit, minus the ears.
They look more astronaut-like now. Like quilted lining and stuff like that. So, I don't know. They're more high-tech, more space age, more Star Wars-like, right?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, okay. So they look cool and they still keep you warm and that kind of thing. Now, honestly, I really kind of go commando when I dive. I don't know if that's the right way to describe it, but you're talking about diving with underwear in a dry suit.
Yes.
And I don't usually use a dry suit, so I use a wetsuit. So in a way, that's kind of going commando from a diving perspective, isn't it? Or what do you think? I don't know. Not really. I don't know. Kind of a disturbing thought, isn't it, Roz?
Well, you see, I don't have the build that you've got, so I don't know how it needs to be accommodated.
Well, you got the microphone now, so that's a start. But I digress. But anyway.
Mm. You're a bad man, Greg.
Yeah, you have to go look up what the Blue Yeti looks like online. You'll get that joke.
It is actually quite magnificent.
Yes, indeedy. Now, Roz, I know you had I don't know, a minor little mishap there at the Birmingham dive show.
Oh, yes, I had a blonde moment.
So you were hanging, you were telling me you're helping out Gary Mace from Concord Public Divers and another folks from the U.S. get a picture of their booth.
Florida Tourist Board helps sponsor some of the dive centers. So you've got Horizon Divers with Dan Dawson, and you've got Conch Republic with Gary and Brenda Mace.
Right.
And they were over, and I was just taking a picture of their stand and decided to stand on something to take a picture of a stand, basically took an impromptu dive, which was...
Well, you're just trying to stay in the moment. You know, you're a diver, and if you take a dive while you're at a dive show, that's only appropriate. You made it look good, right?
I had so many people come and try and help me. It was wonderful.
She didn't fall. She was taking a dive. It sounds way better. All right, hold on, Roz. We got more with our UK correspondent next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Here on the island.
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Deepwater Cay in the Bahamas has been a bone fishing paradise for over 50 years. However, what has been bringing world-class anglers and Hollywood stars to this private island paradise is also quite impressive underwater. So after a multi-million dollar renovation, Deepwater Cay now offers scuba diving to their long list of water sport activities. It's an all-inclusive out-island experience with unspoiled diving, easy access to the States, and exceptional food and accommodations. Treat yourself like the star you are at Deepwater Cay. Go to deepwatercay.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Well, like I always say, onward and downward.
Because I'm in too deep and I'm trying to keep up a bug in my head. Instead of going under, instead of going under.
We're going under right now, actually across the pond with our UK correspondent, Roz. She is on Scuba Radio via the web and kind of cool. She has her new microphone and it just makes it sound like she's right here with us when literally she's on the other side of the planet. What is the weather like where you're at right now? Is it good diving weather over in the UK right now or not, Roz?
Oh, we're coming into autumn over here. So the trees are looking quite magnificent and we've got conkers.
I don't even know what that means. What are conkers?
Really?
What is a conker?
Okay, we have chestnut trees over here.
Oh, okay. So it's just another name for a chestnut tree.
No. It's not. It's the fruit. It's a round seed, But it's you basically bore a hole through it, you get a shoelace, you tie a knot at the end of it, you find somebody else who's got a conker, and you basically, you know, wrecking balls.
Yeah.
Right, imagine a game with wrecking balls, but they're not, they're the size of a, I'm just trying to think of something American.
Like a walnut or something?
Yeah, they're about the size of a walnut, and you basically have to hold your conker steady, and the other person has a go at kind of hitting it with their conker. And if you smash the conker, then your conker is a winner. And then you just call it a one-er, so if you've hit, you know, you've won one game, or a tenner if you've won 10 games.
Okay, why do you do this exactly, Roz?
Because it's what Brits do.
Okay, well, that's fine.
I can't believe I'm explaining conkers to you.
You know what? I'll have to add it to the list. And, you know, next time we get together, bring an extra conker or two, and I guess we'll bang conkers. That sounds kind of dirty the way, I don't know.
I can't really bring conkers to the States because you're not allowed to bring seeds in.
Of course. Yes, that whole agriculture thing and yeah. Whatever. Well, maybe I'll have to do it when I come to the UK next, okay?
Yeah, I'm more than happy to introduce you to conkers.
Well, we'll play, we'll have a conk off. Conker off? I don't know what it is. During our surface
interval. It's only conkers.
It's only conkers. Okay, well, there you go. I learned something new and maybe a couple other folks did today too.
Anyway, at the moment, it's gorgeous. Just to go diving because you're surrounded by autumnal trees and the leaves are looking beautiful. I mean, we've got flame reds and we've got burnished gold and so on. And I was in Wales a couple of weeks ago diving with Doug Allen, who's a cinematographer. He works on Blue Planet and Frozen Planet and things like this. And he's diving a Poseidon rebreather. So we jumped in together and we had a mooch around Chepstow.
Nice. You had a mooch around.
Yes.
Well, there you go. See, there was something. I don't want to bring up, your sexual activities on Scuba Radio today. However, whatever.
It's a mooching is. Oh God, it's not this. You use mooch for stealing food or something, don't you? Or begging food.
Well, I guess, and I just figured it had some other sexual connotation in the UK. I don't know. I mean,
no, it means going for a slow dive.
Going for a slow, okay, you're fine. You're just going to cruise around with a buddy.
You're bimbling around, you're cruising around, you're just, taking your time, you're ambling underwater.
You're meandering underwater with your dive buddy. Fair enough. All right, so were you guys filming, since he's a big underwater videographer, or what?
Actually, what we were both doing was getting time in on our units and making sure we were both current.
But, got it.
It was quite good. We had like 20 meters of visibility, and it was nice. Rather nice. And he was telling me he's getting ready to get on a new project. He's doing a speaking tour around the UK.
Yeah.
He's launched a book. He has ended up filming down the Antarctic, and he's been taken on, I think, by a walrus. A walrus had a go at him and tried to eat him, and he's got various other stories that he's been up to.
When walrus attack? He was going to film some kind of documentary like that?
Yes. I don't know if it was a walrus, but it's something like a walrus. I think it was a walrus.
It's one of those sea lion kind of things. Yeah, they can be a little aggressive, depending on, I don't know, the
season, mating.
Exactly. Yeah, I was in the Galapagos once, and it was actually my first dive in the Galapagos. It was kind of like a checkout dive to, work on your buoyancy and that kind of thing. And it was in an area where they had a bunch of sea lions, and they said, hey, they may come up and check you out. And I had never done a sea lion dive before.
Oh, they're awesome.
Yeah, and sure enough, we see a couple here, and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. And then this fairly good-sized sea lion comes up and starts kind of like barking in my face, like playing with me. And like you'd come up to my mask, and bubbles would come out. I'm like, whoa, cool, man, let's go. And I'd dance in front of him and try to get his attention. And I was just having a time of my life. I was like, this is so cool. What a cool interaction to have on your first dive in the Galapagos. We get back up on the dive boat, and the dive master was going crazy. And he's like, what were you doing? What are you doing? I said, no, I saw the sea lion. He says, dude, that sea lion was angry at you. He was trying to get you to move away and was about ready to take your head off. And I'm like, oof, I'm glad you didn't tell me that till now. Because I had a good time. I thought he was just playing. But evidently, he was annoyed with me. Have you ever had an encounter like that? Or
I got buzzed when I was in the Falklands. I had big males coming and buzzing me.
Yeah.
They weren't blowing bubbles at me, but yeah, they were coming up and saying hello. They were more curious than they were go away.
Well, when they blow bubbles at you, I just figured they were just kind of blowing kisses, but I guess that's not the case, huh? Or do you know now?
Not always.
Not always? All right. Well, see, sometimes it's good to be in that ignorant bliss type of mode when you're in a situation where maybe it wasn't as ideal as you thought it was at the time. But, you know, hey, as you know, ignorance is bliss, right? So you just got to go with it. But the walrus, I don't know if they're known to be a little aggressive in that regard, but he's had some incident with some type of critter like that, and he wants to document that for a new, what, BBC program or just a program he's going to produce?
Well, he's worked on a lot of BBC programs. He's got a reputation for being able to film in very, very cold water for long periods of time, and he just gets on with it. And he's written a book, which he's been doing a speaking tour around the UK, and I think he's coming to the States in about March time next year.
Yeah.
And the book's just about his adventures that he's been up to and some of the stills that he's got. Because, you know, he's been in the Antarctic and the Arctic a lot. And so he's got some awesome imagery that you can imagine. So it was just nice to catch up with him and just get in the water and go for a dive with him.
Well, it sounds good. Now, it sounds kind of like he's a hermit or something. He just likes living out there in the wild and would prefer that over people. Is that where he's coming from, or he just likes to get out there and capture this behavior?
He just likes to get out and film stuff.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Well,
he's just a genuinely nice guy as well. Doug Allen's got some really interesting adventures, actually.
Yeah. So, and you're following in these fin kicks. You kind of cover these people or know them and do little reports, around the world now, right? Your gig.
I'm busy writing up an interview with him at the moment. So.
Well, there you go. Absolutely. So you got that going on. Obviously, we got DEMA coming up. Is there anything in particular you're looking forward to at DEMA in Las Vegas this year?
You've got your radio show every morning, haven't you?
Well, of course. You got to come out and be a part of that. We're doing a Junkanoo dance-off party. You up for giving that a go?
What's that in English?
We're going to have that cultural exchange in Vegas. That's the only place appropriate to do such a thing. So we will do that. We will capture it for film and share it with the world. Just go with me on this. Trust me, Roz.
Trust you, Greg?
Yep, famous last words. All right, Roz, good to talk to you. We will talk to you again real soon.
See you in Vegas.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
I love this new technology we're working with. You know, we're just talking to Roz in the UK. She sounds like she's in the studio with me. Now we've switched systems over to, the Red Sea. Well, not exactly the Red Sea. Willie Klein is my guest right now. He's actually back home in Texas. Am I right, Willie?
That's right. Right here. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. Exactly. But you were in the Red Sea, and you're willing to share a little bit of that adventure with us today on the big show, right?
Oh, yeah. It was an amazing experience. And I've dove in a few places around, you know. I've been a diver for way too long. Mm-hmm. But I've never seen anything quite like this. It was really spectacular.
It was good stuff. Now, Willie, for those of you who don't know, he has been in the dive industry for many, many years, longer than I. But yeah, actually, we have we got our dive instructor. Certification at Pro Dive in Fort Lauderdale. You were like one of the first, I think, right?
Yeah. Well, I went on to be a course director for Pro Dive as well. So yeah. I certified hundreds of instructors as well over the years there, many moons ago.
Yes, many moons ago. But Willie, I wanted to bring that up because he has tons of experience in the dive industry, works with the Bahamas Ministry, works with everybody. So he really is what we call in the biz an expert when it comes to diving in the industry and that kind of thing. So you bring a lot of street cred to your review of the Red Sea. Are you with me on this, Willie, or what?
Well, thank you, Greg. I really appreciate that. I actually was over there with a friend and a client, Stuart Cove, over in Nassau, and he had been invited to Kuwait, which Kuwait City is a very, very small country kind of nestled right between Iraq, Iran, and Saudi Arabia. It's kind of in what we think of as the hot spot, you know, in the world, but it's kind of like this utopian society. Everybody's happy. Everybody drives incredibly incredibly expensive cars. The state owns all of the oil in the ground, so they tend to be very most everybody works in some capacity for an oil-related company.
Right.
But we were invited over there for a guy that was launching a tour company that's going to start selling dive trips to this part of the world, the Bahamas. Uh-huh.
Okay.
So we got indoctrinated into the Arabic culture, which was really quite amazing. And I got to say, you know, divers, doesn't matter where in the world you are, you have that commonality.
Exactly. You can bond with anybody on the planet when you are a scuba diver. All right, hold the line, Willie. We're going to talk more about diving in the Red Sea and that whole, you know, general vicinity next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
What keeps us from swimming away?
Rapture of the depths. If we try to go up by ourselves, we'll breathe in too much nitrogen.
What does that do?
Makes you giddy, makes you hallucinate, and ultimately die.
I started out clean, but I'm jaded. Just falling in, or just breaking my skin. Count, you help me, I'm bent. I'm so scared that I'll never get put back together. Keep breaking me in, and this is how we will live with you and me.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg, the Dive Master. Our guest is Willie Klein. He has been around the block or two, or I should say maybe around the planet, diving all around the world in his diving career. Brings a lot of street cred when it comes to reviewing dive sites in that regard, especially in my mind, because I know Willie knows everybody and anybody in the dive industry. And when he says the diving is good, it holds a lot of water. You hear what I'm saying, Willie?
Yeah, it's so funny. You almost sound like you're describing Neil Watson, our buddy.
Well, that's true. We have that comment. You know, Willie's good friends with Neil, and he's kind of roamed the planet with Neil, and you know, so it, just that alone, you can put a puts another feather in your cap when it comes to credibility.
Thanks, Greg.
Talking about dive sites and things like that. Now, so you were over in Kuwait. And,
yes.
And, you know, we'll get into this at some point, but obviously this area you're talking about diving is a hot spot politically and all the unrest and everything. And
well,
you know,
it's so far removed from our culture. You know, not only is it physically far, it takes 48 hours to get there, more or less, depending upon how you go, and
right.
a couple of red eyes. But it's also so culturally far removed. You know, we can go to most places on the planet, and you feel pretty much like you fit in. But, I mean, very, very clearly there, you don't dress the same, you don't think the same. And then we have all of course, the tensions that have gone over there for not just as of late, but for thousands of years.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of come into it not really knowing what to expect. But as I started just before the break to say, the cool thing is diving bonds you instantly are friends. And we went to this big event, and here we are, this great cultural divide between us and physical divide, and you know, everybody's wrapping their arms around you and hugging you and getting pictures with you, and all because, you know, you have this one single element in your life of diving. And we actually got to go to a dive shop while we were over there in Kuwait, one of the bigger shops called Dive 36. And I mean, these guys just rolled out the red carpet. It was just the coolest thing.
Nice.
So, you know, it doesn't matter where you are on the planet, it's the one thing you have in common. And we got to go from Kuwait then through Cairo onto a resort city called Sharm el-Sheikh, which is on the Sinai Peninsula, which is right at the very tip of Sinai. Very, again, it's a very historical place because, you know, for 10,000 years, a lot of stuff's happened in that part of the world. A
lot of stuff to do on your surface interval when you go to a place
like this. Oh my gosh,
sure.
It's crazy, you know, camel rides and there's just everything. But the coolest thing is they do their diving there. We estimated about 250 to 300 dive shops. I couldn't really get a good count because everybody had a little bit of a different number. There was is somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 25,000 hotel rooms, which, you know, just to give you an idea, that's maybe, you know, that's like approaching Cancun's, of course, a few more than that, but it was along those lines. It was just a huge, huge operation, big, big resort city.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to this one. The diving there is all done on these large 60-foot wooden boats, 60, 70. They call them day boats because it takes all day to go do the diving. And the diving's not very far away.
Yeah.
It would be considered a normal two-tank dive anywhere else, but there they go out and they troll out kind of slowly, and then you do your first dive and take an hour or two surface interval and do your second dive, and they take a long time to come back. They feed you lunch on the way back. So you're kind of out all day for just a two-tank dive, but it's kind of a different kind of experience. Now, the dock we left from, which was pretty fascinating, as you know I'm a marketing consultant in the business, and I, like you said, I've been around a lot, but I've never seen a dock that had 400 to 600 boats that departed from that did nothing but just diving and snorkeling.
Wow. Okay, so they handle a huge amount of divers, and I've seen similar things, for instance, in Australia. They take out these massive boats, and it'll be like 100 divers on this boat. Is that kind of how it is, or is it just a whole bunch of smaller boats that take all these people out?
A lot of 20, 25, 30 person dive boats going out. Right. I didn't see any of the big massive hundreds and hundreds of people. Yeah. We saw a lot of snorkel boat operations, but even then there were maybe only 30 people or so, 40 people on the boat. Mm-hmm. But it was just the volume of the boats. And I was told that about 50% of all the boats there in the marina were diving specific. So I calculated they had somewhere in the neighborhood of 300,000 to 400,000 divers a year just went through that one dock. I mean, Greg, it's amazing.
Wow.
That's a huge number in perspective, you know, from our part of the world. But the diving itself is mind-blowing. I mean, you the best way I describe it is above land, it looks like Palm Springs, California.
Yeah.
The mountains, it's just dry as a bone, you know, and it comes right down the water, and you stick your face in the water, and it looks like a rainforest underwater. I mean, it's just the corals. You know, we have a lot of beautiful diving in the Caribbean, and especially the Bahamas, I love. I mean, it's just spectacular. We might have, you know, 20 or 30 types of corals, and you might have a half a dozen different colors, maybe a dozen different color variations of those. But there they had what appeared to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of varieties of corals with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of color variations. So it just created this kaleidoscope of color that was just right up, they came right up the surface of the water. A lot of wall dives everywhere. So we went, we did a wreck dive that was great called the Yolanda. We went to this really exceptional day, which I sent you a couple of photos for the website. All the diving there is done by permit. You have to, the night before, apply to go out. It's always approved, but there's a permit process they have to go through locally because you're leaving international. You're leaving Egypt when you get on a dive boat because you got Saudi Arabia right next door and you got all these countries kind of around you. So they're a little nervous about that stuff. And you're not allowed to just pull up along the side of the water and just jump in. That would be considered, you know, you could be arrested for that. So it's all very organized the way they do their diving.
Yeah.
Unlike Bonaire, where you could just, you know, pull your truck up and jump in the water.
Right. Just so very restrictive, but, you know, and that's for border issues and for environmental issues, too, isn't it? Or is it?
I think so. They have that. You know, and that was another shocker, too, for all the hundreds of thousands of divers that go there. Mm-hmm. We saw very, very little reef damage, which I was completely blown away because the corals are so delicate. Some of them look like toothpicks, you know, in a little pixie stick kind of combination, yet this super, super delicate type of coral wasn't destroyed. And we were in Ras Ammam, which is the big state park there, and then we went up to a couple areas called, I can't remember, they're right off the island called Tahran Island, and that was really spectacular diving there. It was just vertical walls with tons and tons of coral, lots of little fish. Didn't see a lot of big fish, but a lot of little tiny, gorgeous, colorful fish. I sent you a few photos, I think, as well,
yeah,
some of the underwater stuff. But the cool thing we did, we got to do a dive. There's a city about 20, maybe it's only 30 miles north of where we were in Sharm el-Sheikh called Dahab. And Dahab is just a dusty little village on the side of the Red Sea. And, I posted a video on my Facebook page of camels, you know, jogging down the street because that was about what it was like. It was very, very remote.
Yeah.
But we had to drive an hour through the mountains to get there. And this part of the world, as you know, is going through a lot of instability. But when the Egyptian government saw that they had an American going on the trip the next day, they supplied a Egyptian secret police escort just for me for the entire day.
Wow.
So now we are on there with two UK citizens, two Austrians, two Kuwaitis, and a Jordanian, and yet the only guy that had the personal bodyguard was the American.
Nice.
It was great. I mean, the guy was the nicest guy. He went everywhere I went, and it was really, truly, I guess they didn't want to have anything possibly happen to the lone American on the trip, because we are going through some areas that were a little bit on the sketchy side. I mean, and that's the downside. You kind of got to be a little Indiana Jones to go there, because in our world, it's not like what we're used to. It's not going to the Caribbean where it's all comfortable and relaxed, and you don't really worry about your personal safety from most places we go, you know, in this part of the world. But
right
there, you do think a little differently, and you have to kind of keep an eye out. And doing the trip to Dahab was fantastic because we did a blue hole dive, which is right on the edge of the Red Sea, and it's this beautiful blue hole that goes down to 330 feet, and crystal, crystal clear with these gorgeous corals all around it. And you enter the water in this hole in the side of the kind of where the rocks were, and we had to put our gear on and pack like about 100 yards over this little hole. And we jumped in this hole in the desert, more or less, right at the edge of the water. Wow. And it was a chimney that went down 100 feet, and that's how you started the dive.
Hmm.
So, I mean, it was just a really incredible experience to see something completely different in terms of dive quality. But if you've ever heard somebody say how great the Red Sea is, I can tell you it's really a great product. It's just really hard to get to.
Yes. And, if you booked a trip to the Red Sea right there and Egypt knew that you were American, would they assign you a bodyguard too, or did you have special privileges, I'm guessing?
You know, I have no clue. I don't know whether it was a combination of the guys that were on the trip, but I think there was some peace talks going on in Syria or something at the time, so maybe it was just the instability of that moment,
right,
that the Egyptian government didn't want to take any chances of anything happening with an American.
Well,
but,
of course.
You know, it was quite an honor, and he wasn't there to shepherd me or anything. He just simply shadowed everywhere I went, and every time, you know, I'd go into a restaurant or whatever, you know, he was just right there at the door, and it was a great, comfortable feeling, you know. On the other side of the coin, it made my wife a little nervous when I got back and showed her the photos, because I selectively didn't send her the photos or tell her about that day until
exactly.
I got back.
Yeah. A lot of times when you get into those situations, it usually sounds a lot worse than it really is. A little common sense goes a long way in that regard, too. You stay into the busier areas. You don't go to the more remote places that you were visiting, maybe.
Exactly. No, you're spot on there. You stay in the big areas, the big tourist areas, you're fine.
All right. Well, Willie, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Always a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk again soon. And see you at the DEMA show next month.
See you in a few weeks. Bye.
More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Greg the Dive Master is sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring, hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Steve.
I like his flippers. Does he ever take them off?
No.
How about if he goes bowling? They don't make him wear bowling shoes? They let him wear the flippers?
Yes.
Really?
I took a dive.
Good time.
This is the world's first radio show to go to the diving. I'm Greg the Dive Master. You know, I get a lot of questions out the road, up there, with my friends. And still keep it fresh, vibrant, and fun. Well, I go diving is one way to do that, which would make sense. But sometimes I have to kind of get away from the diving thing and just go out with my dive buddies and do something totally different. Maybe catch a concert or two. And that's what I did this week with CJ and the Bubble Boy, who are with me right now via the web. Guys, how are you?
Doing great, Greg. Loving it. Loving every minute of it.
Yipper. Now, we had a good time. We saw Judas Priest with special guest Steel Panther. And, you know, we weren't scuba diving, but there was some stage diving going on. Have you guys ever done that? Does that count? Is it, could you log that, I wonder? What do you think? Or should we?
I did trip and fall down the stairs on the way to the bathroom.
True. Wait, did we get that on video, by the way? It should be up on the scuba
radio. No, I couldn't get my phone out quick enough.
Yeah,
I went head first right into the urinal.
Well, that's not just fun. Not right.
You know
not
what was right funny, though?
Yeah, what's that?
Greg, you weren't privy to this, but yeah. When we got up to make a restroom break, we noticed that we lost you in the crowd. And I said, you know, this is just like when we go diving, we lose Greg.
That's right.
Wait, what do you mean? You're supposed to keep your buddy within, within one fin kick distance.
As always happens underwater during dives,
right?
Jimmy and I kept in close contact, and we were all good through the whole crowd.
That is true.
And I turn around, I go, you know, this is just like a dive because we can't find Greg. But yep. Also yeah. Just like a dive, we eventually found each other and it was all good.
That's right. You know, if you can't find your buddy, you know, within a minute, you're supposed to surface.
Well, that's what we did.
So after, you know, I led these guys on a stage dive and we lost each other in the mosh pit there. A few bruises, cuts, you know, nothing that won't, you know, heal with an ugly scab. But
only feel it the next morning.
That's true. And but anyway, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we can, you know, apply our diving skills to these real world experiences at rock concerts. You never know.
I was going to raise my safety sausage. I was going to inflate that, but I thought that might be weird at a concert.
Yeah. You know, a Judas Priest concert. I don't know. You would have drawn quite a bit of attention, maybe even from the lead singer. Hey
now.
But that's,
no, that was a great show, wasn't it?
It was. You know, it's like being back in the 90s all over again. Or 80s or 70s. 80s, I guess, right?
Well, it all ties into diving because we're metalheads.
True.
And the first diving helmets were metal.
Okay, that's where you're going to go with that, really?
I'm trying really hard.
Well, hey, it's the end of the show. We can work in anything we want. Which brings me to this viewer mail that I got this week as well. CJ, I'll tell you what. Why don't you just go ahead and read this thing?
Okay, this is printed this out. They said,
"Yeah,
Dear Greg the Dive Master," this is from Sean in Tampa.
Right.
And he says, I wanted to know, I'm curious, you guys never talk about this, but you do a lot of diving in the ocean, salt water.
Right.
If you ever dive lakes or any freshwater things, do you ever come across any catfish?
Well, personally,
I don't know if this guy's a fisherman or what, but I don't know why you would want to know that.
He's probably been watching like Discovery Channel and watching those guys noodle for fish or something like that. You know, the noodling.
Or the river monsters.
Yeah, exactly. And I have not done that. And there's actually reasons for that beyond my personal desire, which I really don't have much desire to do that, to be honest. But, you know, there are some legal reasons of why we don't really address catfish here on Scuba Radio. I mean, as weird as that sounds, it has to do with our announcer, Jeff, who does all the, you know, the voiceover stuff for Scuba Radio that you hear at the beginning, end, and, you know, during the throughout the show around our commercial breaks.
No, wait a minute. Hold on, Greg. Yeah. What the heck are you talking about?
Well, okay. Back in the day, say, it was like the 80s, okay? Jeff, our voice guy, had a children's TV show. A little kid show, you know, and
I remember that.
You do?
Yeah.
You remember hearing about it? Right. Well,
yeah.
There was an incident with cats, and so anything.
It was Captain Silly Pants or something.
Something like that. In matter of fact, with YouTube, you can pull this stuff up all the time, and I do have the audio right here. Here, check this out.
Well, today maybe you've noticed I've got myself a lamp cord. It's a regular lamp cord, but I've stripped the ends of it, and I'm going to put it inside this saucer of milk for this cat. Do you like cats? Sure, I knew you'd say that. Today we're going to take this little cat and let him have a little bit of milk with the lamp cord in it. Come here, kitty. Have some milk. That's not a lamp cord that's in that saucer. It's just a wire. Won't hurt you. Have some milk. Here, I'll pick you up and push you a little closer to the saucer, but I don't want to get too close because of, well, never mind. Little kitty. Yeah, there you go. Have a little.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Oh, he's wow. Choking.
Well, I get it now. Yeah. I get it, Greg.
I think
yeah,
I do too.
Catfish and any cats, yeah.
Any reference whatsoever, we're legally bound not to discuss it on the air. All right, look, we're a little punchy. It's happy hour time.
No animals were hurt in that audio.
As far as we know, but we had nothing to do with it at the time. It was back in the 80s. They allowed that stuff then. We kid. We have fun. We're divers. That's what we do. Right, guys?
That's right.
And we'll leave it on that disturbing note. Till next week, remember, it's always better. Where, gang?
Down where it's wetter.
Safe diving, everybody.
I'm the last sea. These little snail here know how to whale here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we in love here. Down in the mud here. Under the sea.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.